Now, to kick off the programme today, we're going to talk a little bit about foreign holidays. Often my favourite subject, I have to say. And I know for lots of you that, particularly when the weather's bad, like it has been up to today, you find yourself daydreaming about lying on a beach in a sunnier clime. Well, we're going to talk about foreign holidays to kick off the show today, but coming at it from a different perspective. We all like to get a cheap flight and head off somewhere sunny or head off on a city break. And of course, flights have become a lot cheaper thanks to Ryanair in recent years. But I think increasingly more and more of us are aware of the fact that taking a flight is not good for the planet, particularly if you take a lot of flights. And I think that quite a few people are becoming more conscious of their carbon footprint. But how do you balance that with your desire to go abroad, to explore foreign countries and to see a little bit of the world? Is there a way you can still see the world, still enjoy a foreign holiday, but not mess up the planet with the emissions from the flight you take? Well, there is, according to my first guest. I'm joined in studio by Anne-Marie Fuller, who's chair of the Green Party here in Kerry. And Anne-Marie, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Deirdre. Pleasure to be here.
This chat we're having now arises out of a previous chat we had off air. We were talking about holidays and you were telling me that you have been away a few times in the recent past and you managed to do it without flying.
Yes.
Maybe first of all you might just give us a very general reason why flying is bad for the environment.
Well, there's obviously a lot of emissions to do with when you fly, and as well as the, I guess, the carbon emissions from burning fossil fuels, there is also the emission of kind of, you know, water vapour up into the atmosphere, which actually also then helps with the global warming. So that it has an extra impact when you when you emit those emissions, I guess, up in the kind of the stratosphere. But as well as that, there's also the distance you travel, you know, so it's kind of, so it compounds a number of different issues when you fly compared to when you're taking that travel by land, for example, or by sea.
Okay, so the more you fly, the more damage you do to the environment.
Yes, and I guess the less people who fly on the plane is also, you know, because a lot of the emissions are calculated by emissions per person, per distance, for example. So if you're a very well-off person flying around in your private jet, you're going to be responsible for a lot of emissions just for one person. So if you are travelling abroad or anywhere, even on the ground, the more people you can pack into your vehicle, the better for the emissions per person.
Okay, rather than we'll say five different people going to a football match in Killarney from Tralee in five different cars.
Exactly, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay. Now, you're not for a second saying we shouldn't see the world, but you're saying it can be done in another way.
Exactly. And what I've learned truly from my experience is that even though it seems like we're, you know, the message is we've only so much time to reduce our emissions, the interesting thing is that the more you slow down in your life and the more you take time to do things, that's the way to actually reduce your emissions rather than doing things really quickly. So the approach, the mindset, I've had to kind of change my mindset in regards to travel and flying. And I think about my journey now, not as when I reach my destination, but as soon as I start off on my trip, and that's the start of my holiday. And I'm thinking about how can I have as nice, relaxing journey as possible, and what can I see when I'm on the way there. So, so like for example, if you're taking the train, then you might take a nice book with you and relax, and you know, kind of just start and enjoy the self or the trip, the travel as you're doing it. Another aspect I'd suggest in trying to change your mind shift or shift your mindset rather in regards to this is you need to be think about things more flexibly, a bit more patient as well. So I would have, for example, in January, I would have travelled to Brussels for an event over there, and it did. Now, if I'd flown, it would probably have been a 3-day trip. You know, get either to Cork or Dublin and fly, or probably up to Dublin this stage, and then fly to Brussels, and then have the day trip, and then fly back. But it was more like a 5-day trip. Because
okay. So how did you get there?
So I got the train up to Dublin. I was lucky now I could stay the night with my parents. So stayed the night, and then I got the 8 a.m. ferry the next day, although Well, when I say I got the 8 a.m. ferry, I was booked on the 8 a.m. ferry. The ferry didn't depart till maybe more like 11 o'clock or something. So there was a delay. So you kind of have to be prepared for that.
As a foot passenger.
As a foot passenger, yes. And then, so that was a nice ferry ride. To sit back, relax, had a bit more food, breakfast, read my book on the ferry. That was very nice in the nice lounge there as well. And then I got off the ferry. You do have to wait a while as the foot passenger. You get on first when you're leaving Dublin, but you get off last when you arrive over in Holyhead. And then the next plan was to get the train to London from Holyhead. Unfortunately, the train was delayed, so I missed my connection to I was going to get the Eurostar then from London all the way over to Brussels that evening, but I missed that. So, but we did get a later train that day and ended up in London that evening. But did have to find accommodation at the last minute. So I know I'm not probably selling it.
I was going to say you're not selling it.
I'm not selling it. But I think when you, the next day we had a lovely trip in the morning up to Brussels from the Eurostar. But I would say, I guess in saying this, I'm not selling it, but it is a mindset change. And I will say that my trip on the way back, I left on a Friday afternoon. I had a lovely morning in Brussels, bit of sightseeing, and then every connection worked really smoothly all the way back to Kerry. So, and I got back to Kerry kind of Saturday evening, so it was fine. But it's but I won't say I regret those delays, to be honest, because actually really I enjoyed it. I just, you know, you just sit back into it, you relax, you've got your book or other interests you do, and also sometimes you meet really interesting people, so you have a lot more, you know, you have different chats with people, you learn a lot more about different people and different cultures as well. So it is a mind shift, you know, as I said, a mindset change, but you just kind of work into it. But I would maybe for some advice because we also have taken our electric vehicle. We got a second-hand one, so I would say you don't have to go out and buy a new electric vehicle. Please look at the market for a second-hand. There's some really good value out there at the moment. We got ours.
Yeah, you got yours cheaply. Yeah. Just to come back to the foreign travel, though, yes. and to talk about Brussels. So it was a train from Tralee to Dublin, a ferry from Dublin to Holyhead,
yep.
And then a train from Holyhead to London, and then the Eurostar to Brussels.
Yes. Yeah.
Does the Eurostar go, where does the Eurostar go to? Paris, is it?
For that one, actually, so it goes, it went to Brussels for that one. It also goes to Amsterdam, and it goes, so there's two different Eurostars that go, and it goes to Paris, so the separate lines. So you can actually go to Paris, or you can go further north up to Brussels and then on to Amsterdam. So,
and when you totted up the cost of all of that, how did it compare to what a flight would have cost you?
Yeah, it's
more expensive, I suppose.
It's probably three times the cost actually for that particular one, to be honest. So it isn't, again, yeah. So, I mean, look, as I'm here, I guess, as the Green Party chair, that is the reason I'm in politics, I'm honest, like to try and
change
policies and to share these experiences. And it is, I guess, maybe one would consider ourselves, you know, some of the front movers. So we're kind of going through the pains to kind of figure out where, you know, what are the policy changes we need to make to make this easier. I would say now you can, if you go, rather than booking everything separately, you can go Sail Rail, where you can get cheaper tickets, where you can book things through Irish Ferries, and then you can get a much cheaper ticket for your ferry and for your rail tickets as well. So that is a cheaper way to do it. If you're going with Stena Line, you do need to phone them up, and they'll book the Sail Rail ticket for you, and then it gets posted out to you. So there is a longer time frame for all these different things, so you have to wait for some of these tickets to be posted out to you, so you do need to plan a lot of these things in advance.
Okay.
You're
not saying, Anne-Marie, that you'll never again fly, obviously.
No,
it's more about just making a bit of an effort.
It is, and that's my philosophy. It's really every choice you make, every action you do that can be better for the environment, because, you know, that's what makes a difference. So it's not trying to be super strict with yourselves. And I guess when I look at just if I was trying to reduce my overall carbon footprint, it is unfortunately flying is one of the things that can make a big, massive difference to your carbon footprint by reducing it. Compared to all the little actions you do, but it is good to take all the little actions as well. But if you do want to take a big chunk off your carbon emissions, reducing your flying can do that. And we saw that during COVID when emissions globally reduced like something like 4%, because actually mostly that was a lot of air travel was restricted.
Yeah.
But if I don't mind just going back to the EV, I'd say getting, if you're traveling with an EV and then getting on the ferry, that's a really nice way to go over to the UK and travel around. And we've also gone to France doing that as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of options within Europe if you're prepared to take the ferry and the trains.
Yep.
And now I know our rail service in this country is fairly limited.
Yeah.
But once you do get to mainland Europe, you know that you can travel from country to country on a train, and that's a lovely way to travel.
Absolutely. And so I would highly recommend looking at an Interrail ticket then as well. So you'll get a lot of reduced rail tickets for, you know, a set number of days. And you can buy different amounts, like different time frames, like 2 or 3 days up to, you know, 15 days or longer for, you know, there'll be different prices. And that all will also help with some of those, maybe if you hit train delays and different things like that, you know, you'll still have your Interrail ticket and be able to get that. Whereas if you try to book everything separately and then your train gets cancelled or delayed, you may have to pay extra. So I would suggest an Interrail ticket. But yeah, you can, I'm even at the moment looking at going all the way up to Lapland, to how to get there by train through Europe at the moment. So there's
a bit of homework involved.
There is. I would say there's a bit of research, but that can be enjoyable as well. I'm a researcher by background, so I love I love researching. So it's an enjoyable, and you can kind of see what are the different countries you can view and different cultures you can experience in that.
Yeah. So just to sum it up, you know, we all have a responsibility to do our bit. And you might think that one person not taking a flight and taking a ferry instead, or leaving the car at home and taking the train, you might think, ah, sure, what difference would that make? But if we all did it,
exactly,
it would all add up.
It does. It does. Yeah. Because just outside our one individual action, you know, that will influence other things. So I'll just give a shout out to a lady called Katrina Fallon, who lives down in Dingle Peninsula. And just so through her experience of telling us how she goes to visit her family up in Norway, you know, via train as well, ferry and train, you know, that's inspired me. So, you know, maybe there's people out there who might be inspired by my story as well.
Very good. And the next time you're going to a match, see if any of the neighbours are going, and one car will do about five of you.
Exactly.
Or take the train.
Take the train, indeed.
You know, well, you've made me think, definitely, Anne-Marie, and I was thinking about that from our last conversation, which is why I wanted to bring you on and explore it further. So thank you for that, and happy travels in the future. And listeners might get a little bit of food for thought this afternoon, and maybe have a rethink about how you're going to take your holiday this year. Anne-Marie Fuller from the Green Party in Kerry, thank you so much for popping in to studio.
Thanks, Deirdre. Pleasure.